Hi, can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Oh, great. Well, welcome. Sorry for the delay. I just have to go get a new phone. My phone is cutting out. So if it cuts out a little bit, let me know immediately, and I will switch to a landline.
Okay.
Thanks very much. Okay, so this is week five. How was your week, and what's on your mind?
How was our week? You mean meaning last week, right?
That's right.
I think, is Trent not on the call yet, I guess? Hello? I guess Trent's not on the call yet, Ron?
Yep, okay.
I know that he and Sheila were working on getting, he's got all those client folders made and,
I'm on. Let me go ahead and get Trent.
He's got the folders for the clients to give out to each of the clients, and we're starting to pass those out.
Okay.
And I think he's found it to be really helpful to keep himself organized, and the folders have acted as sort of a prompt, a visual prompt for him to, you know, keep to the schedule. So we're also starting to get those folders ordered and completed for the steward office client. So we started on that. I think, you know, we're probably a little bit behind in the steward office as to implementing some of these things. We're a little bit ahead here in the bureau office with Trent sort of leading the charge. But I think, you know, we've got the contents of the folders all sort of panned out, and we know what we want to put in the folders now. We have the agenda. We have the client information template that we're using. So from my perspective, everything's moving along, maybe not as fast as we wanted to.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that it is a good aid, though, in terms of getting and staying organized.
Mm-hmm. Definitely has been.
That's a huge help.
And, you know, even electronically, we're starting to sort out, you know, the information that we keep in our electronic files for the clients that we're using this Supernova system with. So from the organization standpoint, it's definitely been helpful. It's just a matter of sort of, you know, the segmentation still, I think, is still a challenge.
I'm here.
Especially in Stuart. There you are.
There you are. So how is your week, Trent, and questions or what's on your mind?
No, I just having a Monday, that's all. It's a real Monday. I have a bunch of folders with names on them, but nothing inside of them, so it really doesn't help me. So we're trying to standardize what goes in the folders. I kind of expect the same thing in every folder, and this morning I was putting the folder together, so I was not sure what's going on there, and so I need to formalize a little bit more of a process there so that doesn't happen anymore. I don't have the time to put the folder together and do the follow-up. So I'm getting Sheila, and I just asked Vinny put together this schedule of, like, here are the days to reach out to people and confirm the calls. I am getting people to commit to a monthly call and monthly conversation. Not as good as getting rid of people as I should be. I'm trying. It's the hardest thing to say, hey, you know, I'm no longer your person. I had you 15 years, but you know what? I'm going to assign you to someone else that's going to actually be able to give you more time. So I'm trying to get better at that. Hectic time building up this call. I expected to have a little bit more time before I got on this call with you. The folders, I think we're still a little confused on what stays in the folder, what gets digitized, but I definitely want the profile sheet filled out because it doesn't have everything that's on the computer. For example, if, you know, you go in the computer, it doesn't tell us what their social security income is, their pension, or who their kids are. It's like one good place to gather everything. And we can scan that, and I'll update it as I'm having meetings, but I want to make sure that what I have is scanned the day of and put back into the client file. It doesn't just sit around. So I got a couple of clients off on my desk. I have to type up things before I leave. So I'm just a little bit behind the eight ball today.
But you're valuing the process.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's what's going to buy me the freedom to do this. It's like learning a new language and having calluses, right? So it's like I went out and started rowing on a scull this morning, first time ever in a river. I've rowed hundreds of thousands of meters on my back porch on my rowing machine. This morning I went out and did it real time in the water. Whole different game. Whole different thing.
Yeah.
Rowing in the real water versus rowing on a machine. So, I'm surprised I didn't go for a swim this morning. But I definitely value the process. You know, Sheila was on vacation last week and we didn't get much time to spend on it. Today's her first day back. So a little bit of, like I said, hit a little few calluses. Just want to make sure everything's sort of solid and steady going forward and the same things. And I love the client profile because it's the only place I can go and kind of take a look at all the information. There was a question earlier, like what the file is versus a mini file. I guess we got a little confused there. Can you go into
it's
that?
Really,
for us?
It's, think of it as really the same thing, except it's about you guys versus about them.
Okay.
All right. So the information on the front page is about you and your team, whereas the information on the front page of theirs is about them and their family. Right. Otherwise, the back is the same. Place for notes, agenda, information about the inside of it can be. I mean, some people like to put the profile information in the client's folder as well, so that they can then see it and then upgrade it as necessary. Let them be a part of that. See what you're seeing. That's up to you. I like the enthusiastically endorsed page in there. In there with all the phone numbers. I think that, along with you mentioning it on a monthly basis, them mentioning, them having it in front of them when they open it up is great. I think the page on introductions given and received is good. Because it reminds them of the introductions that they gave, and it reminds you of the introductions that you gave, and reminds you to call them on the anniversary of when they opened the account.
Exactly. Let's look at that again, Sheila, later on today. And I'll come up with a list of that enthusiastically endorsed, because I think that's something we missed.
Rob?
Yeah, that's really important because we'll see how it evolves as the acquisition strategy evolves. When I go back and coach people that have been through the whole program and are kind of reviewing it to what they're doing right and wrong, it seems to be a key point when they miss it. Everything else kind of evolves from that list. Not everything we do, but when we look to figure out how we're going to give introductions, the enthusiastically endorsed list is kind of the touchstone of doing that.
Right.
And that's how we get introductions, is because of that. I mean, everybody says, I need to get the accounts. Well, are you using the enthusiastically endorsed list? And they go, what's that? And then I got to go back through it. And then they go, how do I use it? You put down all the names, then how do I get them to give me introductions? You got to teach them how to ask the question, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? That's
right.
What they ask. What you ask is, can you enthusiastically endorse your everything else? Your cardiologist.
Your attorney. Your cardiologist. Right. Right.
Right.
That's a piece of
brilliant. Yeah, it's brilliant. Okay, now it's not mine. I didn't invent it, but it's brilliant.
Right.
It will open. It'll open door for you.
Right.
Which is one of the key things that we have trouble doing is how do I even get to the door, right?
Rob, that's correct.
Yeah, go ahead. Question.
Yeah, Stephen. I have six questions, but let me ask the one cogent to this. Number one, you talk about invite them to meet your team as part of the enthusiastic endorsement behavior.
Yes. Yes.
In our situation, obviously, we have a team to the north and a team to the south.
Correct.
Do you want to address the structure for implementing that?
I do proximity. So, you know, I would do it with the people that are in the office that are there.
But if that were the case, the only people that I would be introducing would be Kay and me to the people that are, you know, 35 miles to the south.
So you're saying, is it worth it to bring them in to introduce two people?
No. My question is this. I mean, the way that I see it is I would schedule a day when I could get Trent and John. Well, I guess, is John part of this or no?
No.
No. Okay. A day when I could get Trent and Carrie and me together for the staff part. And then a day when I could get, for the administrative part. And then a day when I could get Sheila and whatever other third person we have here for the systems part. And the reason, because what I would like to be able to do is to say, okay, Trent, when you need me in Vero, I'll come to a meeting there. But moreover, I think we need to discuss the structure of that and the presentations made by the people on the team when meeting the people for the enthusiastically endorsed thing.
Two different things the way I look at it. Completely.
Yeah, Trent,
you
weigh in on this. I'm not sure exactly.
They're two different, completely different things. And one of the questions isn't even for this call, but enthusiastically endorsed is subcontractors and other individuals that we use in the business, in the wealth management world, or professionals.
No, that I
understand. That's something that we work out. And, you know, if you want me there for that meeting, I can be there for that meeting. But I have enough people around me. I don't need to have you come up to be in those meetings with me.
No, but I mean, when he says invite them to meet your team, that's my first question.
Yeah, that's a call. That's a conversation for not this call. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
Other questions?
No, that's all right.
I mean, a team, and it's like, well, I guess maybe I didn't mean to shut you down, Stephen. So, Rob, it's like a team. I mean, you know, assistant, CSA, things of those natures. So, you know, like, I just had someone here that wanted to meet everybody in the team, and they were with people. So they met who was here and available at that time frame. So we're not going to have, like, special meetings where they meet everybody. Are we?
Yeah, that was what was suggested in the study. So if we're not going to do it, I'm fine. That's the answer I needed. We're not going to do it.
Well, Rob, what do you think?
Well, it would depend. Okay. Now, Stephen, you're a specialist.
I don't know what I am. I mean, you can just you
more of the CFP. You're more of the.
Yeah.
I mean, Stephen's.
Wealth management associate.
Yeah, no, he's senior wealth management guy, right? Been in the business 30-some years, so he ran his own kind of individual practice which was vertical.
Okay.
Forever. Now it's a little bit more horizontal because we're helping with the portfolio management in the background and those kind of things. And even though it's 35 miles south, it's an hour, and Kay goes down there once a week now, sometimes twice, depending. And, so it is difficult because he has someone on the staff retiring as well. So that's going to make it a little bit more difficult. So he's a little bit more of an island, unfortunately, until we can fill those holes.
Well, the answer is you'd like to make it depends. You clearly want to make a good impression on a center of influence that's highly qualified and matches the kind of clients that you have. Okay, so if you had a center of influence, a person that you trusted, they liked you as a CPA, refers business to you, and you wanted to meet your team, by all means, meet the whole team. You know, good. Then go see his team. I like to go see his team first, and that sends a message. Now, we're not going to their team to sell them. We're going to their team to inspect them.
Right.
Now, big difference. You're looking to make – I had one of the FAs say to me, I want to make sure I know every person that's going to touch our client.
Mm-hmm.
And that sends a message, right? That sends a message, a big message. We're very protective of our clients. We want to interview you and make sure you have the quality people and that this is a good match for the quality of people that we have. You pass that test, then you come and see us, and we teach you how we work and how to best utilize us. What are our minimums? Who's our ideal client? You know, what is a good fit for us? So you want to know what's a good fit for them.
Right.
You know, you don't want to be sending the wrong people to a CPA, you know, that specializes in a particular niche. You want to know what his specialization is. So in meeting them, the idea is to meet them, have your staff know their staff, and then when they come to visit you, you want to present a pretty strong picture of how organized you are and how efficient you are. And you give them a chance through the five-star model, so you have everybody stand up that's representing one of the stars and talk about planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership, and why you're organized that way and what the responsibilities are and how you efficiently grow your business, how you efficiently service your business, how you efficiently help the clients reach their goals, and how you lead the team and keep it on track. They'll be very impressed. Don't downplay that. I really suggest you do it that way, because they're going to go back and go, oh, my God, you see how organized they were? We're not organized at all like that. You know, we're everybody out for a pass, right? They are really have roles and responsibilities, and they take it seriously.
So can we come to your office and maybe that's the key, because we've been going to lunch, which I think sometimes can be a waste of time, which you have to do in this business and it's part of it. But
right.
Maybe it's like, hey, we'd like to bring a few of our temp team members by, talk to your team in your conference room.
Which right. is what we did something approximating that with the Minton. I think if we were using Supernova and we visited Minton using the format that we're talking about now, we would have gotten a different outcome. I think that if we use my existing relationships down here, instead of, as you say, hey, let's go to lunch with the CPA I've known for 35 years, if we do a site inspection, for lack of a better word,
right.
do a site inspection with our team. I mean, it's one thing for me to say to somebody, hey, I've taken my vertical team, and now rather than being three of us, it's 12 of us. To say it is one thing, but to demonstrate it is an altogether different thing. If we don't do that, it's okay. I just want to make sure that my introductions are reflective of our structure.
Mm-hmm. I think we got to pick, and Rob would probably agree with this, we got to say, all right, let's pick our target market.
Right.
Decide who's going to demand a little bit larger of a team and go in with that structure and you know, you can only do so many of these meetings. We're not going to walk in a room with
right.
12 people, but we could walk in a room with 5 people. We could walk in a room with 3 to 5 people.
Right.
So I think that that's something we need to start working on. And
Trent, what we're doing here is we're trying to take a process that may take 10 years
yeah.
to really build a relationship like that as Stephen has. Stephen's got those 10-year, 20-year, 30-year relationships. We're trying to take that 10 years and we're trying to turn it into a five, you know, a 5-meeting process. You know, shorten it. Shorten up that whole trust thing. So with his trust that he has and doing the wow thing, we'd only have to do the wow thing once. And that'll last for 10 years.
Yeah, Rob Nair?
Yeah.
Trent, what the reason that I have six questions, now five, was because this structure can take what I was thinking would be a 5-year rodeo and turn it into a 12 to 24 month outcome. Because if we go in, as Rob says, one time, three or four of us, and we specifically articulate our position as we do a site inspection, I think that we're going to get a very different outcome than what we got with Minton. And I don't regret the Minton outcome. I think that, you know, if you look at that, we could have crushed them, for lack of a better word, with our competence. And what we did is we crushed them with our agreeability. And there's nothing wrong with that.
I think we approach them with like, hey, you know, how can we help you get business? And I don't know that that's the best approach either, because I don't, after meeting with them, I don't feel like I wanted to give them business.
I agree. So
that's part of the site inspection, right? So.
Yep, I agree 100%. I think that's the thing we came away with Minton was, we don't need to go back there. They need to come to us. Sorry, Rob, go ahead.
No, but I think that's a really good point. You don't need to take 5 people to their place. You could take 2.
Exactly.
And you're just doing a fact finder there. You're finding out if they're qualified as a center of influence. And you guys can really help them or not. You're not promising anything. You're just visiting them. I mean, the first meeting, look, the very first meeting you have with them is to find out whether or not I think it's a good fit. Then basically you go home to meet his parents, you know, and she comes home to meet, you know, then you go home to meet yours. So the idea is that you need to see if this is, if this person, you know, what's behind the person, all the, you know, they can, people can sell you on anything. But we don't want to be sold. Now we want to go meet the parents, meet the walkers, you know, the Falkers. We want to meet them and find out what, you know, is this going to be a comfortable thing for our people, and is it a good fit? And then once we decide that's a good fit, then we bring them to us, and that's when we wow them. I would not sit and wow them on that meeting with them. That's for them to wow you.
Exactly.
So you're there to... You're there to ask a million questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think Rob, what you build into this is, it's kind of like when you're playing college football at a very high level. You don't run into the end zone and dance around. You run into the end zone, you set the football. This is not your first touchdown. And that's what I took from this presentation.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
If this is a partnership, you're taking it very seriously.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so I misunderstood the question then, Steve. I'm glad I asked for clarification. So, sorry about that.
And then after you've met with them, in that technically be the third meeting, that'd be in your shop, you do the 5-star model presentation. The next meeting is when you teach them the enthusiastically endorsed model. That's the first time you give them the gold.
Okay.
Once you've decided that this is a good match, you meet with them and you tell them, I'm going to tell you how we're going to help each other get introductions at the next meeting. All right? And that's when you teach them the enthusiastically endorsed model, and then you do it. You seriously do it, and then a month later, you meet together and you bring an introduction to that meeting.
So how many of these relationships can you realistically have?
You can have 6 of them.
Right. I mean, so you got to pick the absolute best of the best, I believe.
Right. So here's what you do. All right. So you must introduce 3 CPAs every time you introduce one. That's a good compliance rule, and it makes sense. So what you do is the 1 is 1 of the 6, all right? And you meet with them monthly, and you're back and forth. They're at that. 1 on deck is you meet with them quarterly, and the 1 in the bullpen or in the dugout you meet with twice a year. All right. Now those, you know, those are you're giving them introductions whenever you give, but they're probably not reaping them. They're waiting. And the other one retires, and you've got one to plug right in. There's none of this big get out.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you may find the guy that's in the dugout is giving you more introductions than the one at bat. Well, just like a good coach. You bench the one and put the other one up. You meet with him monthly then, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And so you can do that with six different industries, and it, in the right situation, it might be a residential, it might be a residential realtor or a commercial realtor or a business broker or an estate planning attorney or a family attorney, family law attorney. It could be a lot of different things depending on your market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But all of those people can give you introductions and if trained properly, will. And they'll have fun doing it once you teach them how to do it.
That's a great, smart model. And, we always, I think, classic all advisors call to go to lunch, right? And to go to lunch,
right.
And nothing really happens. Other do I like the guy or not like the guy? Maybe you get a referral, maybe you don't. And it takes years to get sometimes. Then you start getting referrals from someone 5-6 years later. Where it's like, hey, I'm going to go for the top. I want you to be in the third meeting. I want you to be in the top of our list, and here's how we're going to help you. And here's how you're going to help us. I think that's much more intentional. So you're teaching us to be more intentional. I love that. I mean, it's everything. But you don't have to have everybody with you at the first meeting. It can build up with you as you say, hey, my next meeting, I'm going to bring this person on the team, and here's why. And here's why this person's in the room and they weren't here last time. And just tell them again why you're together.
That's really good, Trent.
That's
really good. That's a nice
subtle. You understand what I'm saying? You can build start with two. You build with a third, and then at some point, you say, all right, here is the stars, and here's you've made it through two meetings with us, and we decided we want to do business with you. Here's how we're going to help you. Here's how you're going to help us. Here's what we want you to say, and here's what we're going to say about you. So we got everything correct, and that's how we'll approach it. We've got to pick the right six.
Yeah, I've had people tell me, Rob, it took me 20 years to build this relationship. I don't have another 20 years. I want to do this fast.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so you just have to compress your meetings. Maybe you have to make it more intentional. You have to make it. And people say to me, I've built, but I never get introductions. And that's because they're not intentional about it. And I don't mean going in with your hand out. I mean going in what the board wants, which is your leadership. They want your money, but they need your leadership. And if you're not willing to give them your leadership, don't go on the board.
Right.
So your intention when you join a board is to be the chairman or to be the president of the board.
Right.
And most people go in there to hide, like taking a class they don't want to take. They do the least amount, go to the meetings, and then they never get anything, and they wonder why.
You're right. And the most successful thing on being a board is being the chairman. Everything else,
right.
If you just go through the motions, what's the point?
Right.
Sidebar, real quickly, since we're going to be short on time, if I ask the other five questions, what's the best way for me to send my five questions to you, Rob? Email or something else?
Yeah, just send them email. Or you can text them. I'll give you both. rdnap@gmail.com. rdnapp, K-N-A-P-P, @gmail.com, or 317-418-8624.
Okay, thanks. I'll save my stuff later then.
No, it's a great topic, and I think you forced the door open that could have stayed fairly narrow in its complexity. And you opened it wide open.
I think it's important. I thought it was something totally different. I said I'm a little behind today in my thought process. Well, you have any other good, very important questions, Stephen, that really is,
Let me open my file again. I'd close the... Y'all go ahead. I'll find my notes.
Okay, any comments, please? Anything?
I was just saying the segment, we're a little bit further behind in the Stewart ramp up to this than you are here, just logistically getting folders and getting, actually telling clients of this process. I don't think we've started in the way that we need to start, so that's something that Stephen and I have to work on starting tomorrow.
We give you time, 4 weeks of segmentation, but we tell you to start your folders. But we have 4 more weeks of training, and we throw acquisition in there and other things, but this is really the first week of what's in your folder. Let's discuss what's in it. Let's make sure you know what's in the mini-me folder. So don't feel bad that you're okay. We make it intentionally pressurized so that you don't fall way behind or don't start doing what you need to do. And I think that's healthy. And you can be ahead if everybody is, organized, you don't have anybody sick, you're not traveling. Then you can stay with my schedule. But when there's life shows up, then I understand it. I'm not, it's okay. As long as you're getting it,
Yeah. And the other thing is, we're going to have some turnover in terms of, because, the whole process about, the whole thing about this is you have to turn over basically the management to the CSA to schedule everything. And
bingo.
We're about to lose the person that would have been doing that for us in Stewart, and we're going to have to find somebody new.
We can train them from scratch.
The good news there is that Sheila does have the institutional knowledge, and that's why when I was up there last week, my takeaway was hey, if I can replicate those, I think that Trent and I are both guinea pigs in different regards, but Trent's folders are exactly we can manifest those here. Can I go back to the inverted pyramid for a sec?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is really really pedantic, but. In talking about that, one of the first things you talk about is the receptionist or whatever you want to call it, the actual office manager in the dental office. So one of the biggest problems I have, and I suspect Trent does, and I think that Kay does, is how in the heck do we either avoid or stop playing phone tag? Bill Smith just called.
Yeah, well, this will eliminate phone tag. You will never have phone tag again if you do this right.
Yeah, you should.
Okay.
Because it's like, you should.
I mean, that's one of the things I advertise that you'll never have phone tag again, is how much time will that save? Because everything. Everything's changing.
Why didn't he? He called. I'm not going to call him back. You call him back and schedule something, right? I mean.
Trent, say that. Start all over again because I missed. I want to get the whole
situation. I got a call today for somebody that wants to meet with me. I'm like, that's great. I'm not going to set that appointment with them. Why don't you call them back and set that appointment?
Exactly.
When I'm available.
Okay.
So I mean, then it's like it's just easier. She was very good at just setting the appointment, and letting me know that it happened, and but sometimes things happen. Things fall through the cracks. It's usually when someone's out or there's a, we're always being challenged with that a little bit. For the most part, they should know. And I will put people on hold and say, I don't book my own schedule. Let me put you on the phone with who's going to book this with you. And I don't care who it is. I'm going to have somebody else book that appointment with them. Because I don't want them to be conditioned. I'm the surgeon, right? And I'm standing here. Do you want me to answer the phone between surgeries?
Well, and I don't think it's necessarily us so much as the habit, and habits are hard to break. It's the old first you make the habit, then the habit make you. The habit is embedded in the support staff of, hey, hold on a second, let me see what Trump's doing. Hey, hold on a second, let me see what Kay's doing. And I think that are you saying that, that goes away of its own, or that we need, I mean, I think that Trent's right. We need to say to him.
You have to fight that yourself, though.
Absolutely. Right. I agree. I agree, but I want to make
sure. The blame is on all of us. The blame is on all of us for allowing that to happen.
Right.
You can't allow it to happen.
Here's what happens. When you get on the phone and they say, I just wanted to book an appointment, you go, oh, great. Okay, I'll get Sheila back on the phone.
Right.
So you never
book your appointment. Right. Never book your appointment ever.
And last part of that is you said all appointments are made weeks or months in advance, email notice plus the agenda, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So one of the habits I've built into my staff is we always call the day before to remind the client. Do we continue to do that, or do we just say, nope, they have a notice?
No, that's fine. You're going to get better compliance by calling. That's terrific.
Okay. Right.
I think you still kind of email a week ahead in a real world.
Yeah.
And hopefully, if they email back, say, great, I'll see Stephen next Tuesday morning. To me, that's a confirmation.
Right.
Good enough. Now you don't have to call. But if they do not get that email back, then they have to, it's up to them to call back.
Yeah.
And all the folders should be ready this day. The folders should be ready the day before the meeting.
Amen.
I mean, the day before they should be ready. And I don't call you guys the day before our appointments.
No, it's set.
It's set, right?
Yeah.
And you agree,
yeah.
I mean, with today's world, you send a confirmation that it's on your calendar. You know, with Outlook, it can go automatically on your calendar, and they check it and send back a confirmation notice. That's plenty. Okay, if they're not using Outlook, the fact that they got it, and just say to them, please send a confirmation that you got this appointment. That this appointment will work.
That's a good one. Thank you. That's a good one. All right. Vinny, I'm sorry. I may have cut you off.
No, I was just saying that I've been doing it for about a year with the scheduled calls, and Kimberly sends out an email reminder anywhere from a day or two before. I try to get it out by Thursday or Friday the prior week. And that system has worked pretty well just as a prompt. Most of them already have it on their calendar, but it does give them the ability to tell us if they're unavailable for, they're on vacation or they're traveling or whatever. And, still 95% of the calls, happen as scheduled. So it's that process has worked for us.
And you haven't gotten, you're out of the phone tag business, right?
For the most part. I mean, you still have a message here and there. Things happen. But, last week when the market was collapsing, I mean, typically I would have a flurry of calls, and I just didn't get that, I think we've all been close enough in conversation that people felt comfortable that they knew I was engaged and they were not worried,
Yeah. Yeah, it'll also, phone tag is one of the insidious fears of crime, but insidious fears of your life, but the other one of time is meetings where clients just show up. That won't ever happen again.
Well, the phone tag, too, is I can improve on that with better conversation with my CSA. Like, I haven't really gotten her engaged yet, beyond helping with the scheduling and some other things. But I need to kind of empower her to go and schedule at will and handle some of that stuff without it having to come through me.
Hey, Trent?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Trent, can you address, either let this move forward or kill it right away, but this is a key question since Vinny's on the phone. One of my perceptions and one of the potential realities is since we've gone to this thing where one of the girls rotates to the front desk every week, my experience is the other girls tend to orbit up to there. Do we just defer to management to try and get them to stop the girls from coagulating at the front desk? What's the best way to manage that behavior?
Different call.
You got it. Okay, we'll do that another time. Got it.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead.
Here's a good takeaway you can use with your clients when you're really trying to get them to understand something or to become more of an advocate for you is to ask this question, and I'll do it, and then we'll respond to it. You can say one of two things, or you can say, you know, Trent, I thought this was a really good call. What's the big takeaway for you from this call? And the other thing to try is, you know, Trent, this is a good call. What are the three most important things that you took away from this call? And the purpose in doing that is to move the concepts from the short-term memory into the long-term memory. You can do that in a couple of different ways, and some people have better ability to do that themselves. But by, you know, as a student, if you can get the student to write it down, the probabilities of retention long-term go dramatically up. If you can get them to repeat it and articulate it, then they go up even more dramatically. So if you want the clients to understand something and you want them to put it into their permanent knowledge and trying to change behavior, then try this technique. So let me do that, and we will end it with that. What are the three big takeaways from today?
I mean, I think, are we going to answer this?
You want me to answer it?
And I think the enthusiastically endorsed model, I didn't quite understand that, and I think for that, that's going to be massive. Don't set your own appointments, because, you know, no one respects someone that sets appointments for themselves. I mean, in this world, it's just, and we have a little bit of work to do on our business model outside this, but did I miss something else?
I think a huge
one. The inverted pyramid.
Yeah, I agree. And the huge one was have somebody at bat on the centers of influence, somebody at bat, somebody on deck, and somebody in the dugout. I think that's brilliant. I think that helps me a lot.
Okay.
It's so fun. Here's a perfect example of you as the coach. You guys are all coaches. You're coaching your clients. You get something back that you did not expect.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So, I thought the enthusiastically endorsed one. I thought maybe don't set your own appointments. I thought that the inverted pyramid, but I did not think at that on deck and in the dugout was going to be that important. But that, you know, that was Steven, right?
Yeah.
That was really important to you. That helped clarify and organize you, and therefore it was really good for you. That was so there. I may not have mentioned that, and I did, and it worked. So great. There you go. Perfect example of how different people hear different things, and some things are more important for one than the other. Okay? So a good... So when you open calls, try opening it up with what's on your mind. It's a book called, I think, The 7 Most Important Questions You Can Ask. And the first one was, what's on your mind? And the second one was, what else? And the third one was, what are the big takeaways, or what did you get out of this? So it's just a great way to you as... Because you're coaches, right? That you're trying to get your clients to be better, to grow up and make better decisions. You're trying to help your clients be better investors and be better decision makers in their lives. And these are the things that can help them. So you're coaching them on how to be better at what their role is. And so by asking these questions, you'll see if what you suggested for them stuck. Okay. Good. We'll try that. We won't overdo it, but we'll try it when I think you've hit something.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
All right.
You.
Have a good week. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.